Satsang with Maitreya, February
16th, 2002. Hello everybody. Salome means I pay my salutation to the divinity within you. We are all divines. You have the spirit of God, the spark of God in each and all of you. And I salute that divinity and welcome you to the room of the mission of Maitreya. We will be here for next 3 hours and we will go over the teaching of the mission in brief, and then you can ask any question you have. We appreciate if you stay in a higher level of questions and teachings, and let us find out what this mission is all about and what has come to humanity again. This mission is the beginning of the golden age for humanity, an age that all the prophets and all the great souls desired and wished to be while it is on earth, and it's now has started. The great souls will be incarnated to this age, and they will create the kingdom of heaven on earth, an earth that no child will be hungry, no old man will be alone or lonely, no woman will be unjustly treated, and no man will be dishonored. An earth that humans are in the best way to live possible, and man learns through how to share with one another and how to create the communities of love, communities of light, and the kingdom of heaven on earth. The coming of this revelation has been in work for the last 12,000 years, and there have been many revelations given to humanity through many prophets. And now God explains very clearly in our teachings that each of these revelations and prophets have come to bring one part of the greater truth, which is called the eternal divine path. Therefore, now you are here and you are hearing the latest revelation from God, and then if you really understand our teaching, you will realize how each of these revelations sent by God falls into their places and create a wonderful path for teachings that will guide humanity to higher self and eventually to consciousness and God. Therefore, we can see that human evolution have reached a point that now they can receive this revelation of teaching, and the way we have asked humanity to follow is the shelter for those who will be in the kingdom come. And the kingdom of God will come. He said his kingdom will come. As we see in our teaching, he has promised many things. He promised Abraham that there is going to be a prophet come from his seed, Ishmael. Then he also prophesied that another prophet, another Messiah, will come from the seed of Isaac. And Christ came from the seed of Isaac. So we can see that God says he will do things and he accomplished them. Now he said his kingdom will come and his kingdom will come. There is no doubt about that. And those who doubt that and put God from the system, their lives, their nation, their community, or any aspect of their life, you will find out that they will not be incarnated, and that is not time to, do this. So, now you might ask, what is this teaching that unifies the whole religions of the earth, and how the kingdom will come? The teaching is based on 7 seals, 7 revelations that has come to humanity in the last 10,000 years. After the flood of Noah, God sent the mystical knowledge, the mystical teaching through Noah. This mystical teaching eventually came to us as Vedas and many other teachings all over the earth, American Indian ideas of religions, the African, the shaman in Australia, and all the teachings that teaches that God is everything and is also within you. And if you meditate and realize yourself, you realize that I, a small I, and I, the large big I, God's I, or self, are the same. It's a very well-known verse that says, know thyself to know God. So the self is the same. For the Hindu teaching, Atman is the same as Atman. For in Persian teaching, Khud and Khuda is the same thing. If you know Khud or self, you will know God. That is the base of all mystical teachings. Every mystical teaching teaches you that know thyself to know God. And even Bible says, be still and know that I am God. That me and the Father are one. That God is within you. If you know yourself, you know God. And you will manifest God's quality, His compassion, love, understanding, and all the good qualities on human and on earth. Because God is good, and whatever is good is God, and whatever is not good is not God. So you cannot blame God for bad thing on earth. What is not good is from our ego. Our ego make bad thing on earth. So we cannot blame God and say, God is bad, why God does all these things? He doesn't do all these things, we do it ourselves by not following His ways and His laws and His revelation. So we can see God is good. So you cannot blame God at all. God is good. Whatever is not good is not God, it is ego and human name. So we can see that in the mystical path, it covers Hinduism, Buddhism, and mystical path, teaching in African and South American and all the places that teach, that God is everything. Actually, they see a spirit of God in the tree and worship the tree, of course. That is the lower level of understanding God. The best way to worship God is within yourself. And as Christ said, there will be time that you will worship God, not in the temple, not in the mountain, but in the spirit, which means meditation. You go within and you realize the self, that you know self and God are one. Of course, that also covers Kabbalah, the mystical part of the Hebrew teachings. It also covers the saints in Christianity, Sufis in Islam, and many and all the other teachings that based on these same premises. So we can see the mystical path covers the great aspect of human spiritual progress, and of course it is the spirit of all teaching. If you don't meditate, you don't have a kingdom to possess, you don't understand when Christ says, your kingdom is within. Or you're going to have a hard time to see when your eyes is single, your whole body will be full of light. When Christ said, God is closest to your vein, when Muhammad said, God is closest to your vein than yourself, you will not know what he's talking about. So we can see that the mystical part of teaching of God or religions is woven into all religions, and it's part of all religions. Actually, if you study the life of prophets, there is a period that they are alone by themselves and they're meditating and fasting, and they are amazingly are guided by a great strong hand, and eventually they realize who they are and they receive the revelation and bring to the humanity and says, yes, I have a message for you. Of course, humanity, is your message the same as we think it should be? And he says, no, it's not, it's different, it's not the way you want it to be. And they say, then we do not accept your message because we're going to keep our own religion, our own understanding, and our way of realizing God, and therefore they reject the prophet, and even they stone him and kill him and shoot at him, and they say, no, we don't want him. Actually, the only prophet that people listen to is the Noah. The Jonah, the prophet that really didn't want to do it, and God pushed him, and he was the only prophet who went to this city and told the people what God wants them to do, and they accepted it. Therefore, it is no wonder that prophets are rejected, because human has ego, their own understanding, their own will, their own culture, their own customs. And then the prophet says, come and says, no, what you understand is not correct, is not perfect, is not according to God. They say, no, you are wrong, you are right, and so kill him, or, you know, crucify him, or this and that. Of course, as God promised this time, everybody will hear his voice all over the earth, and probably can even see him without being able to harm him. And it is not supposed to happen that it happened in the past. We can say whatever we want, and people can throw at us, you know, that word, or somebody says cyber stone, but not the stone itself. So we can see that if you really want to receive this revelation, that then you come. You have to say, okay, that's what Christ said. You have to become like a child before you can be born again. You have to say, I don't know anything. I am a little child. I want to learn. Therefore, become like a children, throw your cups away, empty your cup, and let this teaching fill you up. And do not argue with the prophet. Do not, you know, come up with your own ideas and say, no, you have to listen to me. And instead of saying, okay, you are the one that God chose to bring this revelation, and I will listen to you. Therefore, you have to realize that this teaching is from God. First realize this is from God. You go see the prophecies, see the, you know, everything that God has supported this teaching with. And then decide, yes, it is from God. If it is from God, then whatever comes through this vessel is from God. Actually, when I give satsang, I don't give satsang. God gives satsang through me, and actually, he says sometimes things, you know, I usually hesitate to say to people because I am probably shy of saying it, but God is not shy. God is right to the point and tell you as it is, and if you really want to understand it, take it as it is and the word of God, and therefore listen, read, understand, search, and eventually if you find out that what material or God through him says is true, then you say, yes, I will accept this version, not my own version, because it is from God, and it makes more sense than what I thought was correct, because I was taught from my culture, from my custom, from the people who were in my religion. You know, if I wanted to teach my religion, I should have taught you Islam, but I don't. But what I teach you, you become a better Muslim, a better Christian, a better Hindu or Buddhist, and you will become even a greater degree of all religion on earth. Therefore, you can see that prove to yourself, prove the spirit. Don't accept my word. Go, search, understand, read, and find out that it is from God, and they say, yes, we accept his word as the word of God. And he and the Father are one. Therefore, there is no way but him, and therefore we follow that spirit. Therefore, the mystical path came 12,000 years ago through the Noah. Noah brought the mystical path to human. Before Noah, human had the direct connection to God and the spirit. Therefore, but they did not follow his word and his laws, and they failed. And that's why we can see God is not very pleased with them and destroys the earth with them. And the flood of Noah, and the Noah and his children only are saved. And after the flood of Noah, Noah teaches his children the mystical path, because they did not have the direct relationship with their spirit anymore, because their third eye was closed, and he and the two eyes were given to them, which is our earthly eye. We only see the material thing and earthly thing, but not the spiritual world. Therefore, Nova has to teach them how to meditate, how they can do the spiritual courses, and they learn how to do that, and eventually those teaching spread all over the earth and became the mystical teaching of in every culture and in every part of earth. And of course, the greatest example of it is Hinduism and the Buddha and the Vedas and the Upanishad, and Bhagavad Gita, and all those things that teaches you that Atman is the same as God. Of course, in the Jewish religion, it became the Kabbalah, which is the tree of the Kabbalah, how to practice and become, you know, self-realized person. In Christianity, the saints knew themselves, is God, and they are the same, as one of them told, said, the Christ, as the Christ increases in him, he decreases, therefore there is more God in him than he himself, in himself. Of course, the Sufis reach the point that they jump at joy and say, I'm Allah, means I am God. And of course, the Orthodox Muslims were, you know, petrified of what they say, because wow, how can they be God? God is something that we cannot reach. He's up there somewhere, you know, sitting there, and Muhammad was his prophet, and this man is profane and infidel. They even killed some of those Sufis because they were saying things were not according. As Christ said, me and the Father are one. You know, the Jews, they were petrified. What do you mean, you know, me and the Father are one? Father is after. So you can see that the mystical path is very important in realizing the religions and understanding of God's revelation, and that covers a huge part of humanity. Now, in a mystical path, they say, okay, you just meditate, and you reach Godhead, and you fall into the ocean of God, and you become one with Him, and that is the goal of life. That is the goal of the spiritual progress. And a lot of people these days also have realized that. As you go to some of these rooms in Paddock, they talk about, I am God, I know God, I'm one with God, I have received revelation, I'm wonderful, I'm the prophet, I'm the God, and listen to me. They are in the mystical path, on the first path. They have realized God and them have a relationship. But of course, sending prophet is not a very easy task, and usually not everybody can become a prophet, because God will prophesy for a long time before He sends His prophet to humanity. So those people who claim that they are the teacher or they have a revelation from God, ask them what kind of the prophecy have they fulfilled. If they have not, then say, sorry, you might be a little of something, but your realization is very small. Actually, the most dangerous thing is a person who realizes a little, or a lot, but not the whole thing. And that will become a real dangerous thing, because they will teach some truth, but also they are sleeping a lot of untruth, or they teach a lot of truth, but not the whole truth. So that is why God is very, you know, particular in sending His prophet. He always makes them fulfill the prophecies. Therefore, if somebody does not fulfill the prophecy, run away fast. And therefore, but the Bible says that the goal of the life is now to reach that point. Actually, in the Revelation, you know, at the end of the chapter 3, he explains very well those people who think they are rich and need of nothing, and they have come to the very high level of consciousness, and they say, no, we have reached very close to God, and God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. It means that the goal of life is not to become the drop falling into the ocean, but there is more into it. What is more into it? Then we can see at the after the flood of Noah, God chooses Abraham and promises to Abraham, which his name later on changed to Abraham, to Abraham, whose son was Ishmael, two promises. The birthright for possession of material wealth, and the scepter, kingly spiritual beings, which will come from Ishmael. And then he changes the name of Ishmael to Abraham. I mean, the name of Abram to Abraham, and promises also the same thing for his son, which is Isaac. And you can see that God fulfills both of them. The children of Ishmael of Arabs who cover from Saudi Arabia all the way to North Africa, to Spain and South America. And the children of Abraham or Isaac are the children who came eventually to Europe and in North America. Actually, New Mexico is in the border between South and North America, so the two children meet here in this area. So we can see that God said He will do that, and He fulfilled those promises. If He said it and He fulfilled it, does He exist? Yes, He does really exist, and you have to listen to Him and know that He really exists. A lot of people believe in the religion. They follow their priests and mullahs and rabbis, but they really don't believe God exists. They don't have any direct relationship with Him, and they believe what the rabbi or the priest or the mullah says. And that is a big problem between religion, because mullahs and the rabbis and the fathers and all the Brahmins and all that, they have a lot of dogmas, and they teach you dogma. Therefore, your dogma is not the same dogma as the other religion, and that creates a lot of separation. But if you have ignorance with your forces, and you create direct relationship with God, He says the same thing to Muslims, to Hindus, to Buddhists, to Christians, to Jews, because God is one, and His teaching doesn't have any dogma. Therefore, all the mystical people can get along fine, because their teaching is the same. It doesn't have any dogma. Therefore, dogma is one of the biggest problems in human understanding of God and become one. Of course, mission doesn't have any dogma. It is a path. Therefore, what is the next step then? Then God chooses Abraham and Isaac, of course, will create the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God is trying to find a people. That people will choose God as their king and His laws as the law of the to follow. Of course, God struggles with them all along, all through the Old Testament. You know, they reject God, they accept the earthly king, and they do not follow God's law, but they follow man's law. And eventually, of course, they long for a Messiah. And of course, the prophecy said that the Messiah will come from the Isaac, and he would come as Christ. Okay, so the theme or the message of the Old Testament is creation of the communities. Communities that based on God and His laws. And we can see he chooses the tribe of Israel and work with them all through the Old Testament to make them the chosen people. The chosen people are the people who follow God, who follow His laws. And He wants to create tribe. What is tribe? Tribe is a community. Community which accept God as the king and His laws as the laws of the community become a community of life. That's what children of Israel, Israel means the children of life, Israelites. That's what the chosen people are, the children of life, of the children of God, and will create His kingdom on earth. Of course, in that time, they were not prepared, they were not, has not been chosen yet. Therefore, Israelites, the Hebrews, of course, their mission finished when Christ came. That's what the prophecy was. When the Shiloh comes, the kingdom will be taken away from Judah and given to another nation. And also Christ said very clearly, at the time, at the end of His mission in front of the temple, that the kingdom will be taken away from the rabbis and will be given to another nation. So we can see that the coming Christ, the mission of the children of Israel was finished at that time, and of course the Christ brought the message of sacrifice. Now, so God wants in the Old Testament, He wants to create communities of life, communities based on God. But how can we create the communities? If everybody in the community says, what is it for me, and I'm very self-centered and selfish, and everything should be, you know, evolve around me. Everybody does that, will we have a committee of life? No, we will not. That committee will fall apart because everybody will take more resources out of it than put into it. Therefore, that pool of life force or support will dry out and that community will fall away and there is no sharing in it. If there is no sharing in a community, in a nation, on Earth or the universe, we will have problems. The sharing is the operating word. We have to share to create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and its easiest way to do it is in the community, and its best is in the communities of life. And therefore, we can see Christ put the example of the sacrificing ourselves, the sacrificing of ourselves, to create a community which people are willing to give into it instead of taking it all the time. And really, his message was not to be self-centered. And self-centeredness is one of the biggest problems on earth. And the more we meditate and become spiritually progress and live in the community of life, the faster we get rid of our ego and self-centeredness and thinking, oh, I'm such an important person and, you know, everybody should follow me or listen to me and, you know, in this and that. So that message of sacrifice is from the Christ teaching. He went to the cross, all the way to the cross, to show that in the kingdom only will come if the sacrifice is in the promise of life. And promise of life, of course, based on the awakening of the spirit of courses. Now, you sacrifice a lot and try to, you know, do best you can in the community, and nothing happens. Would you get depressed and unhappy and say, hey, there's no result, I'm putting so much effort on this thing, and, you know, very few are affected, or even those few are still, you know, argue with me, and they want me to follow them, instead of, you know, they say, yes, you know, I want to follow you and your teaching, and say, that is the more true than I know, or, you know, the communists are not forming and all that, you will get depressed. Or they will listen to you, and hundreds and thousands and millions of people will start coming to you, to the teaching, and say, yes, we want to follow this. And you say, wow, look at me, I have attracted so many people, such a wonderful guy I am, and all that. You create a big ego. Again, either way, it's your ego. If you fall and you say, well, what is not happening, it's your ego. If you say, elated, if it's happening, it's your ego. So the moment you have ego, it happens. Your ego becomes like an umbrella between you and God and cuts the grace. You are not connected anymore. You don't feel mission, you don't feel artistic, you don't feel anything. And you say, no, I don't want that. I want my ego. And you run away, or you become depressed, or you become related. And you lose God because you think you are the doer. The next step is do the job, do the work, but surrender the result to God. I'm not saying don't expect the result. It is good to expect the result because you are working to get the result. You know, we are here to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. If I say, okay, I don't care if the kingdom come or not, you know, it's not expecting the result. You expect the result, but you are not attached to it. You say, God, I did my best. You know, the result is yours. You know, if people come and saw the mission and saw the vision and they said, yes, I want to become a contact. Yes, I want to become a teacher. Yes, I want to, you know, create a center. Yes, I want to create the community of life. Yes, I want to be a part of mission. Yes, I want to come here and set up a wonderful, you know, server and computer system and get this mission going, or come buy houses around here and create, you know, come supply that. Great! This is what you saw, and you will come and do the mission, and that is God's doing. Therefore, I have to say, well, it's really God's doing it, not me. Therefore, it is the result is His. Of course, that is surrendering the result. Greater than surrendering is submission. Submission is always remember, it is God is doing through you. If you have a talent and using for God, remember that talent is given to you by God. Therefore you say, oh, okay, God gave me this talent, I can use it to make a lot of money and live miserable, and at the end of my life you say, oh, I have a lot of money so I can live very well in old age. Or you can say, oh no, I'm going to spend it, and use it for the mission, and then at the end of my life, I will come into my life, they're going to take care of me. You know, I don't have to worry about it, you know, my whole day, and you will not fall into the maya that this world is full of fear, attachment, desires, and wants. Therefore, you can see the greater than surrender or submission. You can use your talent, you can use whatever God has given for him, and of course knowing that God is doing good. That is the message of Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, means to be surrendered and submissive to God. And that is the highest spiritual realization. If you are surrendered and submissive to the God, to the will of God, truly, then your life becomes a dance. Your life becomes a flow of wonderful feeling and being, and you will attract good people around you. You might not have too many people in the mission, but you have good people in the mission. They are wonderful people. They are very good-hearted, very good and love God-loving people that it is fantastic to have around. So we can see that you will attract good people, you will have comings of life, and you will be in very likely become a flow of beauty and wonder. So, submission and surrender come from the teaching of Islam, of Prophet Muhammad, and also, you know, in this, but by this time you might direct all your energy and the thing you have realized to a very specific part of the universe, to your community, to your family, to your city, to your country, or to whole earth. In this, all these things are narrow. All these things still will gonna, you know, narrow your mind and create separation. Therefore, the next step in your spiritual path, or the eternal divine path, is universalism. You become a universalist, you realize God is your home, universe is your home, God is your father and mother, and you are a citizen in this vast universe. Therefore, every other being in the universe is a struggling being with you in your path, and therefore you become a universalist, and you shatter all knowledge of the mind, physicality, no matter who other person is, there is a beauty in every person. Their beauty might not be as yours, but they have the beauty of themselves, and they might not follow your culture, but they will have a culture. If they will not follow your custom, but they will have a custom. And of course, when the kingdom comes, eventually the culture and custom will be God's, and everybody will become even closer. So, this message has come from Baha'u'llah. And Baha'u'llah, Baha'u'llah was the founder of this teaching, and he brought this teaching to humanity. The idea of origin are basically the same, and we have to like all of them and accept them as God's revelation and all that. So we can see with this teaching, these five steps, awakening of the three forces, creation of the comings of light, sacrificing, surrender, submission, and universe, you become universalist, you shatter all knowledge of the mind, attachment, desire, self-centeredness, and create the communities which will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom of heaven on earth is based on the communities of light. And the communities of light will eventually produce great beings that will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. This five step, of course, lead you to become an elect. You become a real Israelite. You become the child of light. You become the children of light. That is what the children of light are supposed to be. The ones that follow the eternal divine path and eventually become elect. And that is the sixth seal in the greatest sign. And it brought up with the gentleman from India. His affectionate name is Baba. And his earthly name was Shri Shri Anandamurti. and that is the organization that I joined, and eventually it was revealed that he also had a hand in God's revelation, and he talks about the sadhikas, or those who are intellectually strong, they're intuitive, they have the ability in the dealing with the business world and the worldly thing, and at the same time they don't shy away if there is a physical work to be done, they just put their sleeves up and go and do the physical work, and on and on. Of course, you know, teaching it fathers that concept with the eternal divine path, the first five steps that I just explained to you, and these people with the qualities also is explained become adults, but what we call para vipras. Beyond vipra, vipra means intellect, they are para vipra, they are beyond intellect, but they are in intuition and are willing to become adults for God, and these are the people that we are calling. This mission is calling upon delek, those who want to become para vipras. And we are very familiar with everybody's teaching. We have read all religions on the earth, so we know them. We have talked with many people. We know their dogmas. We know your beliefs and everything. But this teaching, if you get into it, you will find out is beyond everything has been on earth. Actually, the only time that the whole universe rejoiced was when the book with the seven seals in chapter 5 of the Revelation was opened. And therefore, this book is open now. It's called the Holiest of the Holies. So, the Last Testament, if you want to know what is in that book that's sealed with the seven seals, read it in our website and study it, test it, and test the spirit, come to our room, and search, ask, and eventually you will have no choice to say, yes, this is from God. Therefore, the eternal divine path is the first five steps, and after you follow that, you become an elect, and of course, these elects will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and help everybody reach pure consciousness for the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the unification. As when you reach God, you understand God and His plan and His wonder and everything, so is the seventh seal. Seventh seal reveals the teaching that has been given, is coming to humanity for the last 12,000 years, and now the whole thing is revealed to humanity in the seventh seal, and the mission of Maitreya is represented with this seventh seal and has brought the whole truth and unity to religion on earth. And now you have heard it, you know it, we are done with you, and it is up to you. If you understand it, realize it, go and search, and eventually say, yes, I want to be part of it, or you say no, and you go away and you leave to God. If you go away, if you can do the mission, we welcome you very much, and we hope you are one of their legs. Therefore, you can see this is the base of our teachings. Of course, it's much more than this. It is amazing revelation. And it takes 7 years for a newcomer to completely engross into the teaching and realize exactly what we're talking about. But this, a gist of it, is what has been explained for the last 45 minutes. Now we open the room for questions. If you have any questions, now is the time to raise your hand. Go ahead, Sweet.
Oh, okay. You had spoke of God destroying the earth. And I would like further expansion on that, because my understanding is that being that God is the creator, and creation, everything that is a part of God, no matter what religion, no matter what, we're all a part of God. We are a piece of the whole. And being that God is creator, in my mind, I can't see God as something that destroys. Can it be or that it is us that we destroy ourselves and our collective thinking by not being able to share?
What you said is correct. Really, God has set rules and laws in the universe. Actually, God created the universe self-sustaining to a point, but of course He can interfere with everything in it if he wants. But he has created four periods in human life. This is called said Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, you know, and the Kali. The period of Kali, we have been in it for the last 12,000 years. And in that period, in the Golden Age, is when the true teaching of God comes to humanity. For 12,000 years, they follow it. Great beings will be formed, and the earth will become the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven on earth. Everybody realizes God is everything, and God is not destroyer, but he has created a set of rules that should be followed. If they are followed, there is no destruction that is going to come to man, and many, many of these beings in that age will reach pure consciousness or Godhead and one with God. And after that golden age, of course, those who have reached the higher consciousness and pure consciousness go to God and become servant of God and come and work for him. But the whole universe is not in pure consciousness. If you read our teaching, the universe went out of the balance, and now God is trying to bring it, this imbalance in the universe back to the balance, which is the state that the universe will enjoy most. Therefore, there's still a lot of beings, a lot of unit consciousnesses in the universe are not this pure consciousness. Therefore, in the Silver Age, a new people will be, a new unit consciousness will be born in the Silver Age, but the people who have this pure consciousness in the Golden Age will teach those they come to, you know, to being in the Silver Age. And also in the Silver Age, those who come to the people who have this pure consciousness in Golden Age will be in a higher consciousness, therefore will be guided to a point. And then in the Bronze Age, of course, again new consciousnesses will be created, and in that time, of course, you know, as the age goes to the silver and bronze, it goes lower and lower in consciousness. And eventually, of course, the time of Kali, that a lot of lower conscious being or unit consciousness are created in that period. Then, of course, the humanity is absolutely ignorant. They are full of dogmas and disconnected from God, and their third eye is closed, and they are completely destructive as we are now in it. But we are at the end of this cycle, and we are going to the Golden Age again, because, and as the Bible said, and he brought chaff and wheat together, to the, you know, he let the, you know, the lower consciousness and higher consciousness people live together to this point, but at this point is the time of sundering, is the time of harvest, you know, is the time of bringing the higher conscious people together and bringing the Golden Age, you know, to humanity. That is why the lower conscious people, you know, will destroy themselves. You know, as we can see, how many wars do we have, how many destruction we have. And eventually the people in the higher consciousness, they said, this can't go on forever. You know, we can actually destroy ourselves 50 times over if we use our atomic bomb that we have, you know, stockpiled, you know, on Earth. You know, why you want to destroy yourself 50 times over, that is beyond me. When you destroy yourself once, that's it. You are destroyed. The whole humanity is wiped off of the face of the earth. You know, but more and more people are awakening to this realization that we have to do something. This is crazy. This is just not the way a human should live. They should become unified. They should bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. They should get along. They should share. They should create the earth that, you know, this destruction will not be there. But will they listen? If they listen tonight to what we said, tomorrow we're going to have the kingdom, and this destruction and war are going to stop. And they say that there's not enough resources for everyone. There is. There is a universe of resources out there in the stars and in the space that we can utilize, and there is enough for everybody's need on earth, even if our number with 10 billion, which is 6 billion or 7 billion now. But the greed and destructive tendency and ego and attachment and desire and pride of our, you know, narrowness of the mind, of the nationalism and religiousism and dogma and all that has created the situation. In the golden age, people realize God is everything. All this belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. My house belongs, doesn't belong to me. I didn't create it. God created it. You know, my body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Therefore, how can I hoard? How can I, you know, keep it to myself? How can I, you know, do those things that humans do to each other? The reason they do those things is because of ignorance. And ignorance is the destructive power, you know, force on earth. And humanity has to be taught that ego is the problem, and that ego is the devil, ego is the tempter, ego is the greed, ego is the attention, ego is the all problem on earth, you know. And if we meditate and recognize the person and realize that yes, it is that this God doesn't destroy. As I say, God is good. You know, how can He destroy? A good person doesn't want to destroy anything. He wants to build. He wants to create. He wants to make everybody feel great. You know, so God doesn't destroy. Ego and human destroyed. You know, some people say religion brought a lot of destruction and wars to humanity. Religion didn't do that, especially now that it explains how they are united. There is no separation between humans and human. What destruction brought is dogmas, which it created by man, and that's what brings war and destruction. So God doesn't bring all those things, so we can see that, you know, but it is time of the harvest. It's at the end of the one period that we are on the brink of the golden age, and therefore those who haven't made it for the next age, they have to go. This is the law. So the golden age comes, the kingdom comes, the people on earth create an environment that they can meditate, have their spiritual forces, and eventually these two consciousnesses, many of them, so they can come and help the rest of the universe reach there. Therefore, it is much more complicated to just simplify that either or. It is God's a plan to bring this imbalance back to the balance of Godhead, and therefore this age has been created at the end of the Kali Yoga or the Kali Age or the Dark Age or the Ignorant Age is when the destruction and the sundering occurs, and we are in that point. And that is the plan for those who haven't made it. They are still hanging to their religion, their dogma, their destructive tendencies, then their ego, they will have no choice but destroy themselves. And therefore, you know, God doesn't want to do that. It's just like, actually when people ask me, you know, God destroyed it, it reminds me of the story of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna was saying, why there is such a destruction, such a death? And actually, it's a part of God. It's His body. And to us, it's destruction. To Him, it's just a part of His body needs to go because it is sick. and the body which is not sick has to stay. So if we expand our mind to look at the universe as a creator Himself, everything isn't in Him. There is no destruction really. To Him, it's just a purification, a healing process. Just like my hand has a, you know, infection, and I say, oh no, I'm not going to destroy all those infected, you know, bacteria that infected my hand, and then all my hand gets, you know, sick, and the whole hand have to be cut off. You know, then what is that better, or use some medicine and kill the, you know, bacteria and heal the wound. And that, if you look at it this way, then you don't see as God is destroying, but God is purifying, God is healing, God is guiding the universe toward the goal. And that goal is to become divine.
That makes perfect sense. It seems like my spirit understands exactly everything that you're saying and knew it before you said it. So I want to thank you for answering my question. I want to thank Brother Frank for bringing me here, because this is absolutely outstanding and I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweet, and I hope you go to our website and read our teaching and realize, you know, what we have here, and come and join us. We'd love to have a whole humanity to join us. Of course, you don't have to. You know, we have many, many different levels of members. Some people just love our teaching. Some people dedicate all their life to it. So, you can fall anywhere between that, but I'm glad you like the teaching. It's wonderful teaching. I rejected God and the whole notion of religion, you know, when I was around, probably around 7, 8, or around in the beginning of teenager, absolutely had nothing to do with it. And this teaching makes sense. Okay, when I received this revelation, it made so much sense. I said, wow, yeah. First of all, God said He's going to do those things, and He did it. Therefore, God exists. I have no choice now to say, no, He doesn't exist, because He said He's going to do it anyway. And then this explanation like this is absolutely logical. It is not a religion of illogical, emotional, based emotion. It is based on understanding and logic. And God is very, very logical. This is not, if a religion is not logical, say, sorry, you're just emotional. If it doesn't appeal to my logic, it is not from God. I'm glad you like it, and I hope you research this part. Go ahead, sweet.
Thank you. Actually, I was questioning when I like to talk a lot, guys, because this is who I am. My question is that you say God is a God of logic, truly, you know. I truly feel you in my spirit. I would ask you to expand, to tell me how this logic and love comes together. I have my feeling, I have my wisdom of it, but I would like to hear, you know, you tell me how both come together in reference to us all. Thank you.
If you study our teaching, you will see that God has two parts. That two parts are not really separated. They are one in one entity. One part is called consciousness, and the other part is called the creative forces. The consciousness is the ability to know and be aware of the awareness of the universe. And the creative forces are three forces, which are called tamasic or purifying force, rajasic or nutritive force, and sattvic or sentient force. This creative force, the purifying force, purifies the consciousness. The whole universe is based on this purification of the consciousness to the manifestation world. This manifestation world, universe, is nothing but consciousness purified. Therefore, everything has awareness, but it depends how strong the purifying force is, and as the purifying force purifies, the awareness decreases. That's why those people are more aware of the spirit of God and this being, and they are less purified. The more purified they are, the more disconnected they are from true understanding of God. Therefore, this table is more purified than this water, and that this water is more purified than air, and on and on. And this purification, of course, occurred, and it created the five elements of the earth, on earth, which is solid, liquid, fire, air, and ether. See, so the logic of God is creating this universe by using those creative forces, purifying, creating the universe, and eventually, you know, guiding the universe back to that balanced state. And the next power energy is Rajaguna. Rajaguna is energy, is movement. If there wasn't any Rajaguna, nothing could have moved in the universe. Actually, my hand right now, I have it over this computer, it would have just stayed there forever. It would not have the ability to move. Therefore, Raja means, you know, mutative force. Therefore, energy is in the universe to make things move. And the third one is the Sattva Guna, or sentient force which unpurifies things. It's absolutely against the tamaguna or purification. Therefore, because it's unpurified, you become more a spirit. There is more purification in water than in solid. Liquid is less purified because it has more sentient. Air is less purified than water because it has more sentient. Fire, you can see it, and a moment later you can. Okay, so it is constantly a manifestation, but it just vanishes right away. It goes to the ethereal level. It's because it is more, has more sentient force in it. And ether, of course, and air, of course, we don't even see it. You have to move your hand in front of your face to say, oh yeah, I can feel, you know, the air, you know, flowing over my face. Then you can see air has even more sentient force in it than fire and ether, which scientists know exist. They say they know about ether, but they have never been able to pinpoint and put it in the microscope or anything that says, yes, this is ether. They have not been able to do that because it's even more sentient and harder to detect. So we can see God created logically a universe with these elements. Therefore, he can create this human eventually so we can reach true consciousness. Now, the Rajaguna, when it is, as I said, it's energy. That energy, when it's under purifying force, or tamaguna, it becomes desires, attachments, wants, and every bad aspect of lower nature of man or lower chakras. And then the same energy has more sentient, you know, influence on it. It's not purified. It becomes love, sacrifice, dedication, and higher qualities of man, which is the same as higher qualities of God. And this very Rajaguna or mutative force also, you know, make you in a higher level to realize higher thought, revelation, love, and what many people refer to as Holy Ghost. Okay. So when this mutative force is in a higher level, that is our love, emotion, feelings. So that Rajaguna or energy in us, according to where our consciousness is and how much we are purified or sentient, is where our thoughts and desires and wants is. So you can see that the creative force, or the three gunas, can make the energy fall into tamaguna and become purified, and our mind become crude. You know, just like many times I give an example of a surgeon knife. Okay, the surgeon knife is lying down on the table. It's neither good or bad. It just is. It's just a tool. Okay. Now, if a murderer see a surgeon knife, the first thing came to mind is, wow, that's a good thing to kill people with. Okay. Why? Because his consciousness is so purified. That's the only thing he or she sees. But if you, a good surgeon, a very, you know, a well-educated and talented surgeon sees and says, wow, I can heal with this. I can take the tumor out of people. I can cut the people open and let the tumor out and heal them. The surgeon knife by itself has no ability to be good or evil. It depends who look at it and how they are you. So we can see that surgeons have more sentient, more higher level of consciousness, therefore he uses that tool to heal, and the killer has a lower consciousness, which is more purified, uses that same thing to kill. Okay? So the knife has no tendency of being good or evil, it's just a tool. Okay? And then, or computer. Some people use computers to cheat people and you know, do a lot of bad things. Other people, you know, give facts on, okay, talk about God. Computers have no ability to do either of them. It's a tool. Or just another thing, the Hindu gurus, you know, like to use The tailor, when he's walking in the street, he looks at the people's clothing, you see. How is that? Is it built well? Is it built? No. A pocket picker, you know, looks around to see whose pocket he can pick, you know. So we can see again, it depends where our consciousness is. Therefore, we can see that the tribunal is called, or the creative force is called the Holy Ghost. And the energy is being used by human according to their consciousness. And therefore, we can see that emotion, our feeling, is that energy. Energy is your feeling. Energy is your understanding. Energy is what activates your higher thought or lower thought. Consciousness is your awareness. You are aware of being. You are. If you are here and now, you just are. You neither good nor the evil, then you can clearly see, you know, what is the next step, you know, in your life, and you're clear. But if your emotion, if your energy is crucified and under the influence of the, you know, that force, of course your life probably is a series of disaster, because your mind is not clear, and you make decisions not based in a very good, solid understanding and logic and awareness, but your wants and desires takes over, which is tamaguna, and it crucifies you, and you make the same mistake over and over and over and over. But if you are clear and you are God, you detach yourself from everything, and you see everything clearly, and you go to the next step, and your life becomes very wonderful. So we can see the logic of God is the consciousness, the emotion, or the Holy Ghost is the three gunas in the universe. I hope that makes sense to you. So there is two parts of God, the logic, or consciousness, and the creative force, which creates everything in the universe, and of course it's our emotion, our thoughts, our feelings, our movement, which is the creative force. Does that make sense to you, Sweet? Of course, many people ask us, you know, why do you use the internet to reach people? Not everybody has computers, you know. We realize that, you know, it's true. You know, not everybody has computers. That's why we have the teachers, you know, and they go and they reach the people that don't have computers. And that is why we need everybody to invite our teachers to come over. Eventually, after we create the centers, of course, that's going to become a regular feature of the mission, and our teachers are going to travel all over the world in different centers and teach our teaching, I hope, the way it's in though, and they don't teach their own teaching, and they won't, and because they know God loves them, and they love God, and they will do that. So, there also we have newspaper, and as we grow, of course, we will reach to humanity in other medias and ways, but this is the tool since God has created for us to be able to reach a lot of people, you know, the way that it was impossible even 20 years ago. So we can see God is working in our level to get this message to humanity. We use this tool, but we realize that everybody has a computer, and hopefully we can reach to them in other means. Okay, Pegasus, your question is about how, when this organization was founded and who founded it. I am the founder of the organization, and I came to this country to go to school. Actually, I did go to school. I received some degrees here, and when I was in Mississippi State University, of course, it's a long story what it happened. There is a book there in our website that somebody will put up the URL for you. It explains to you exactly how it happened, and how, you know, there's a lecture one of the disciples is given. It's called How He Became Maitreya. You can read all about it. And of course, you say it's fascinating. It's the first time you have been in the website. You know, read it in a deeper level, especially read Dove, the Holiest of the Holies, which is the revelation has come to humanity. It is the book sealed with the seventh seal, and hopefully you find the wonderful revelation we have given you. If you have a question, send us email. There is a place, the counselor, in the website. You can send email to them, and we will answer your question. Hopefully, you will find God in what we teach. Go ahead, AGT.
Thank you. I must say, Maitreya, this is not Guru. A Guru who is so much pronounced. I go down to you. I can agree. How soon can we get that ideal land? And
how soon can we get this world order of the imagination? Yeah. Sure. He said, he's kind of said you were Satguru and I.
Yeah.
I
bowed down to you. Yeah.
Yes, you broke up, here, and that's what you're confirming. But we get the gist of your question, that when this vision will be manifested on earth. As I said many times, it is up to you. It is up to humanity. Of course, as I said, the elect have been in the process of being chosen and progress for the last 12,000 years. They are here, that's why we're reaching out. We are calling them to come. The process is to call the elect, gather the eagles together, gather the elects together. I am the heart of the hierarchy. I am here to work with the elects. I am here to unify them. I am here to bring them together and create what we call the facilitating body. Facilitating body includes our teachers, our administrators, our agents, our centers, our contacts, and eventually creating a system that will reach to the root movement in humanity and create the communities of life all over the world or wherever it's possible. And then real hierarchy on earth will emerge from these communities of life. So it's a big job, and it is calling to a lot of people to come and join and take the responsibility to create this facilitating body. The facilitating body really is a facilitating hierarchy, which is not chosen by the comments of life or the people. Actually, if you study our teaching, it is really manifest the hierarchy for people, by people, from people. Okay, if you really understand our teaching, that saying really is manifested throughout the mission. So you can see it is a big job, it is a lot of people to come, to realize, to see the vision, come and join and put a lot of effort into it, and eventually we can, then this present system falls apart. If it will, there is no doubt about that. We have a viable system to replace it and say to humanity, this is what God wanted. And of course, as I said, the people who are not chosen, they will not be reincarnated for a long time, or as you see, they are destroying themselves. And they will not be here with us, but those who are with us, eventually we create the kingdom and we bring the golden age. So we are in the brink of bringing the golden age, but we need the elects to hear this, see the vision, and dedicate themselves. We need a lot of dedicated people that see the vision clearly and come and say, yes, I want to be a part of it, I want to help, what can I do? I have this talent, use me. So the sooner these people come and join us, the sooner it is possible. The more they hesitate, the more they resist it, the London, if we can. Go ahead, Sri.
I was hearing what the brother said, and the thing that went through my mind is how we have to, like you said, become conscious and aware of the universe outside of us as well as in us, and that we not only do that, but create it in action so that others can see in us what is in them. Please explain further, because I need you to explain this to me, actually. I'm what one would consider to be a psychic. Being psychic, I'm considered clairvoyant, clairsynthy, and clairaudio, meaning that I can hear things and all that good stuff, you know, and feel things. How does that equate to the teaching, I guess, I would say?
You have two questions. One, how these elites going to be able to bring their kingdom of heaven on earth? And is it that means that we able to teach others by our action? Your first question, the answer to that question is that elites, or the elite as you call them, are the people who follow the eternal divine path. An eternal divine path is the base of our teaching. I don't know if you were here or not, and I explained this morning, it's awakening of your spiritual forces, directing that forces toward the creation of the communities of light, sacrificing in the communities of light, surrendering and submit the result of our action to God, and becoming universalist, and that is who the elect is, and these are the called elite. Those who have been in process of being created for last 12,000 years, now is the time to sunder the chaff from the wheat and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth for the golden age which is coming. And those who follow the eternal divine path and are elect and realize our teaching and the vision and come and help and get this done will be the people who will bring this golden age, and that's who we are calling for. They, of course, will set an example, but with their actions and with their abilities to teach with their actions by meditating, making their spiritual forces, directing that toward the creation of the comings of light. That is their goal. They do not just sit there and meditate only, but they don't go ahead and say, I am such a big person incarnated from this and that, but I am here to do the will of God and create the conditions of life. Therefore, they are completely dedicated to that and will use all the energy toward that end. And they sacrifice for it, the ability to give up themselves, share, go around, teach, and of course not attack the result of their action, or realize that God is doing it through them, and they direct these abilities toward helping the whole universe. After we are done with this earth, probably they're going to be reincarnated in another planet or somewhere else, and we'll bring the kingdom of heaven on other planets. So we can see that our job is not done. There are infinite unit consciousnesses be rescued and brought to balance. Therefore, we can see such people become the elect or the sixth seal, and they, of course, you know themselves, they have the abilities, and they are able to put an example for others to bring more comings of light, greater expansion of the mission, and our teaching, and eventually when humanity is a coin and said, well, this present system is not working, we need something new, they will see our teaching makes sense, it is from God, and hopefully they say, yes, okay, let's do it our way and unify and share. So that is the base of our teaching, and that is how these elite or elects are chosen. Now about your question about psychic power, you say you're a psychic, a clairvoyant, And this is the, as you said it yourself, everybody has them. This is the gift of the Spirit that God has given to all of us. And actually, it's they also are a test. Probably you weren't here when I was talking about when I started meditating in the beginning before I started the mission. When I came to the United States, you know, that is when, you know, if you read my life story, which is on the website, it talks about how I was in the college and how a strong, you know, hand was guiding my life, and eventually I get to the meditation. You know, I've never meditated my life before I came to the United States. And when I started meditating, the first month, I create this ability. I could see people's future and past. I could tell them what they did. And I at that time I was a student in Pennsylvania, and we had a lot of friends in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. We used to go and be with them, and we had parties and all that. And I started telling people about their past. And I was telling them things that they have not told ever anybody else. And they were all surprised, and I became a center of attention, and everybody started, you know, gathering around me. I was telling them about this future, what happened, the little about the future, or quite a lot about the past, which they're all amazed. And I felt very good that I got, you know, so much attention from, you know, my friends, and they are all in awe of how I'm doing this. Of course, later on, I lost that ability, and I became more miserable. Of course, the lesson was, you misuse the power, because I wasn't doing it for God. I was doing it for myself. I was, you know, looking to see how can I get more attention. So those abilities you have are great. You have to use them for God. Those gifts are given to us as a test. Those gifts are given to us because, you know, God wants us to use them for His good. Use them for making people realize that God can give that also to them. No, don't create an 800 number or something that charges $2-$3, and people call you and you tell them about psyche. No, don't worry about your bread. God will provide with the bread and all that. But this ability should be directed toward the creation of the comings of life. You should sacrifice for it, you should surrender and submit to God and become a universalist. So therefore, those abilities, the gift of the Spirit, and everybody has some abilities somehow, and those abilities should be used for God. Those powers and those abilities called siddhis in Sanskrit. Siddhis means a spiritual power, and actually the reason for the fall of man before the flood of Noah was because they misused those powers, those cities, that is our birthright to have them, and they will come to more people. Actually, even after the flood of Noah, they still had the telepathic ability. That's what Bible said, they had only one language, and they could talk to each other, so they could read each other's mind, but humans misused those powers. That is why they fell. That is why this time we have to learn our lesson, not to misuse these powers and use them for God. Go ahead, start this.
Yes, I was thinking that I have felt that I've been on a spiritual journey for quite some time. And on my spiritual journey, I have been learning about different things in life, such as different religions, to try to find my place in life. I have this listening, wanting to reach out to other people, but as far as spiritually. But I have not yet identified my place in the universe, and I'm trying to find out how do I go about doing that, because I'm open up to learn many things, but yet I still feel that I'm misplaced. Can you explain those to me?
Sure. You have been searching. You have read many religion or teachings, probably, and probably they all make sense. but they are not connected. They're disconnected, and probably an addiction in them, and are not unified. There is something that is not completely, you know, clicking that put them all together. Actually, there is a saying in the Sanskrit that when you know a teacher comes, it means you already know a lot of things, and when the teacher comes, put them all together for you and make things make sense. And that is what's happening to a lot of people on earth. They are reading many different religions, they are reading New Age teachings, they are, you know, studying, and they want to know the truth, you know, how they are connected and what is the spiritual path to back home to God. And therefore I myself, of course, was one of them. You know, the religion didn't make sense. My religion didn't make sense. Other people's religion didn't. I knew them. I read them, especially after I started meditating. I read, you know, Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, you know, Vedas, and meditated. It felt good, and my teacher was great. What he was saying was beautiful, and but still there was something not completely quite falling together as one until I received the separation. And then everything made sense, and it was logical, and it just showed me a God which is fantastic, it's wonderful, you know, and that He has a plan. He was sending all His revelation separately, and now He put them together as one, and how each of them falls apart, where the New Age falls apart, where the mystical path falls apart, where the, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, Quran, and teaching of other prophets fall in their places. So I recommend you go to our website, read our scripture called The Holiest of the Holies, though the Last Testament, and see if that's going to put everything in perspective for you. Okay? See if you can place where all this knowledge you accumulated in what is in that revelation and book, and maybe that will help you to find your place. If you ask me, everybody who has been called or being born in this body at this time, they are called for this mission, for this revelation, and their place is in the mission, and they can find a place for themselves in the mission and realize that, yes, that's what they have been born in this lifetime to do. And there are a lot of people in the mission, they already have realized that, and they have accepted that, and they are doing just fine, and they are very satisfied with what they do. Of course, you know, we are living in Maya right now, and the world is tough and hard, and some of them feel, you know, they are struggling, but the struggle at the end will pay off very well for them, and then the kingdom come, they will come as a part of it. To me, question is very clear. Understand our teaching, read it, understand it, and if you felt, yes, this is what is from God, and it is a vision that you can fit into, you're welcome to join us, and then tell us, you know, what kind of abilities you have, and then we work together and see what you can do for the mission. Mission means a lot of people come to help. So my recommendation is to see if you are one of them, and if you find it is true, then let us know. And I hope that answers your question. If it doesn't, you know, go ahead and follow it up. Go ahead, Bless.
I wanted to ask you what you feel about meditation. Just sitting in silence, not necessarily chanting or doing a mantra, but just sitting and observing the nature of the mind. Do you feel that has relevance in spiritual?
Yes, it does. The meditation, there is many ways to meditate. You know, as I explained some time, some people like to go for a long drive. That's the kind of a meditation. They sit in the car and they drive, and nobody is around. They by themselves, and they really go fall into meditation states doing that. Some people like to go fishing. Some people like to go mountain climbing or different ways of, you know, gain, getting away from this world. But really, meditation means to cut your senses from the stimulation of daily stimuli. So we can see meditation can be done in many ways. One way of meditation is recommended in the mission is just sit in front of the greatest sign and just look at it. Just look at it. Just go around it and realize. So many people have realized so many things by doing that, and they came to me. But did you know that this greatest sign, you know, the triangle upward is like the two points in your knees and your head, and the triangle downward is like your two shoulders with your finger, you know, together. And actually, human, it looks like the greatest sign when you sit down on the lotus pose. I said, well, yeah, I know that. and many, many things they come and realize just by sitting in front of the greatest sign and meditating on it. And that is another way of meditation. Another one is the way you said it. You know, just sitting there and examining the nature of the being, the nature of mind. Of course, meditation actually is to take you beyond mind, because mind still lives in duality, as you said, good and evil, bad and good, is my action okay or not? So the duality still exists in mind, and that's why it's confused, and sometimes, because of our impurities, we choose not the good way, which is God, but the bad way, which is from ego and evil. So in mind, the good and evil exist because we are still in duality, but in a spirit, there is no duality. What left is good, you know, because we cannot do bad in a spirit, because in a spirit, there is nothing called bad because there is no ego. So there is no duality exist. Another way of meditation is to realize what is the goal of the life. Why are we are here? Why we have been created? Why God put us in this earth? And what is the nature of God? Who is God? God is everything. Okay. So what is the goal of the life? The goal of the life is to become divine. What is divine? Is to follow the eternal divine path, awaken up the truth forces, create a community or a family, and sacrifice, surrender and submit to God, and become universalist. Then you become a divine. That is the goal of the life. Therefore, in our here we have a universal mantra that we give to everyone who can meditate on. It's called Hari Om Shri Hung Om Nam Kevalam. You breathe in Hari Om Shri Hung. Between breathing in and breathing out, there is a moment of silence and stillness. That Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." It has a stillness in between breathing in and breathing out. Realize it, recognize it, become one with it. And then breathe out, Om Nam Kevalam. And then Om Nam Kevalam means God is everything. So breathe out, God is everything. That realize that the stillness again between breathing out and breathing in, that the stillness is again is God, the unity, become it. Then breathing Hari Om Shri Hain. The goal of the life is to become divine, realize the stillness, Om Nam Kevalam, that divinity God is everything. So I am a part of that being, and realize that the stillness is the most important part in your meditation. And also repeating the mantra, it takes your mind away from every other thought and takes you beyond thought. What your meditation does, it examines the duality. Still, you are in duality and examining it. But meditation really has to take you beyond duality, which is that stillness between the two, breathing in and breathing out, and breathing out and breathing in. So, your meditation is okay, but greater meditation is to go beyond realizing that there is no duality, God is a spirit, and God is good. And therefore, bad doesn't exist, which is your ego. Therefore, the goal is to eradicate.